I think he's gone because he just looks like a pizza delivery Will Ferrell right now. Trying to watch my boyish figure.
What you do here, canon will be used against you.
Yeah, in more ways than one. All right, welcome back, race fans. This is the Left and Right podcast, where friends, banter, and racing all meet and come together in one harmonious note. I am Matt. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Doing well.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Britt and I had a very, very awesome weekend. We did make it out to the Michigan race after deciding on Friday that was a good idea. So.
Yeah. Before we get into the Michigan race, I will give our listeners a small public service announcement. Maybe, just maybe, if your 5-year-old daughter, for example, does not like watching racing, maybe don't take her to a NASCAR race in 91 to be weather with like 90% humidity. Maybe don't make that mistake.
Yeah, it was, I would say on the enjoyment factor for your 5-year-old of 1 to 10, she was at like a solid 1.5.
Yeah. And that was for like
tears running down her face. So
yeah.
So what kind of treats did you buy her to compensate for the crap experience?
Even a better story.
Oh my gosh. So she was into it for like the first, if it was a 5-lap sprint, it would be perfect. She was excited for the first 2 laps. Then she was done. Her earmuffs were bothering her and it was hot. And she could still hear the cars because she was expecting, I think, these earmuffs would like put her in a, you know, solid isolated place. But
France, yes.
So on the way into the stand, she had seen a couple of these lemonade stands, you know. So she goes, "Oh, Daddy, I want lemonade." I'm like, "All right, I'll get you lemonade. It'll make you happy." I waited in the lemonade line for the entirety of stage 2.
I could yes, you did.
Country in my backyard and like eat on it on a daily basis, like Anthony Hopkins does in the movie World's Fastest Indian.
Oh,
and
grown
and squeeze my own hand squeeze lemonade faster than it took to that lemonade. So
yeah, what they get you for one lemonade?
$7.
Okay. I mean, it's expensive, but okay.
I was also laughing at how they were managing to get it to you, too, or how you paid for it, might I say.
Yeah, so it was like there was like 3 little tents right next to each other. You had a lemonade stand. There was a little, like, the gas station pretzel, you know, case with the spinny thing on it that was broken, wouldn't turn. And then to the right of that, they had this thing selling mixed drinks. It was like hard lemonade and Bloody Marys, and that was it, apparently.
Bloody Marys on the 90s.
Bloody Mary, yeah, that's what you need, tomato juice.
Just really the cheese out. Spicy tomato juice. You can sweat that, I suppose. So they had these 3 little things, and because, I don't know, maybe it's because it's COVID protocols, pretty much every single one of these little vendor places, they weren't accepting cash, only credit card. Well, they only had one credit card reader handheld between these 3.
Ugh.
So they're passing it back and forth. And because I'm thinking to myself, this guy does one thing. It's lemonade. Like, it's not doing a whole lot. And it's this big, clear, ice-filled box in front of him. All he's got to do is put it in a cup and hand it to you. It's like, how about I just give you $7 and I can walk away in the next 30 seconds and not stand here and wait.
Yeah, it got to the point up in the stands where Zoe's like, "Where's Daddy?" I'm like, I'm getting concerned. It has been way too long.
Way too
long. But of course, we don't tell her that, of course. But,
man.
Yeah. No, so yeah, much big props to Matt and our other friend, Travis, for stepping up and trying to console a 5-year-old who had every right to be displeased with her current situation. So
Very upset. And it was fine until she started playing with the headset. And every time she messed with it, she would crack the seal. And then she would cry and do this and try to talk to me. And I didn't know what was going on because I can't hear anything. There was a million freaking cars going on a track. So we figured it out, though. You know, we figured it out. But
yep.
What a trooper.
So you had to pretty much, like, you just had to deal with the with her being upset, and you just couldn't get upset about it.
Yeah,
like that's pretty much, for the duration.
I think her favorite part was riding to and from the car on my shoulders, which was a solid half mile walk each direction. I had like bruises on my sides of my neck. Like,
oh, that brings me to another topic. Yes, Brent. The reason why we had to walk so much is apparently in Michigan, and we've been here before, we should know this, so I feel like kind of an idiot. So when they put the stands up, the sections, if you're staring at the back of the grandstands, the sections to your left are all even sections, two through whatever.
That's going to be, yeah, so start finish line to exit of turn four.
Correct.
Yeah.
All even. Now, on the other side of the start finish, they are all odd. So let's just take our ticket at number section 27, where we walk between 28 and 26, looking for 27, and everybody's like, "No, dude, it's like all the way on the other side. These are all even. No signs, Brent. Did you see signs?"
I did not see a big sign that said says, "Hey, dummies, evens to the left, backwards." Yeah. And also to the right, my opinion. Yep. But we weren't
it's
the only
while. You know, it's been a while since you know, COVID and stuff.
I just don't know how to society anymore. So
yeah, right. You just have to relearn things.
God.
Yeah. The good news is. Yeah, that's okay. The good news is the race was fantastic.
It was one of the best, man. One of the best I've seen in person. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was.
That's interesting to hear you guys say that, because there's been, typical NASCAR talk of it being crap, you know, of the race being bad, and I mean, I can see where that comes from, but as a person you two are fortunate enough to have sat there in person and watch the race and not listen to the TV broadcast and how they present the race to the fans watching on the TV. So I'm interested to hear your perspective of how the race was.
I liked where our seats were. I like pit exit. Truex pitted right in front of us, not by design, might I add, but
sure, whatever.
It was amazing.
I don't believe it.
I'm counting the lug nuts coming on and off. I had the Binox out, you know, full deal. No one asked to borrow them this time, so that was unfortunate for them. But I was looking at Binox and watching the race on the far side when Brent was getting lemonade for 15 hours, and that's when Mr. Dillon went for a spin, and right in front of me. Like, if I was watching, it would have been. I didn't see a thing. Didn't see any of it. I saw him on his wheels spinning off of four, or spinning off of the trial wheel. So.
You saw the undercarriage.
I saw the undercarriage. Yes, I saw. I missed the undercarriage.
So did you see him come up the track on Keselowski in turn four?
Nope.
Then?
Nope.
Oh, man. Didn't see anything. Yeah, he. Well, see, there's the TV perspective of being able to watch it so close, but he, you know, he came up on the underside of him and gave him a little rub, got into him a little bit, and they battled it down to the start finish line there. So,
yeah,
you know,
and
racing.
It was a racing incident. I just think either Keselowski kept him down too long, or Dillon just decided, okay, it's over. Let me just pull back up on you. And oh, look, you're still there. Boom, upside down.
And there was highlights, a highlight reel. They got in car from both of those guys. I think they crossed the finish line at the end of stage two, and they both just the concentration just stopped. They just kind of, you know, focus was done. They took a break and all of a sudden didn't realize just how close they were to each other. But because it was funny when you listen to the recap, they both went, that was my bad. I shouldn't have done that. You know, Keselowski goes, I should have got out of his way. And Dylan said, I shouldn't have come up.
Yeah. You know. So like, they had the broadcast on Dylan's in-car camera, like as he came to a stop.
Oh,
like they had already switched over from whatever they were talking about to, and like before the announcers were able to say anything about his presence in the car, his visor was up. He was holding the steering wheel almost as if he was getting ready to release it, but he wasn't, like from the hub. And his eyes were just like bug eyed. Like he was like, what the hell just happened? Yeah, that's wild
though. Normally they don't do that, you know?
No, it was so raw, like so quick that like he definitely, from his action of coming up the track a little bit, did not anticipate a second of what happened.
Yeah, he didn't. Like, he just didn't know that that was right
there. Yeah, in his mind, he was already down in turn one. Yeah. But he didn't quite make it there.
So
didn't quite make it.
Is what it
As Michael Maruts would say, you'll never be my driver of the three. So that's what he was saying this week.
Richard Childress, RC, was...
Oh, he's ready to go.
He was hot. He was hot right away. What did he say? He was like, I might be an old man, but I'll kick his ass. Kick his ass or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I think that was the exact quote, Adam. I think he nailed it. So
does it? The RCR, I was right on the RCR Twitter feed instantly, and they just had a comment that just said, wow.
it was bad. It was a bad look. And they had a car, man. He was wheeling and dealing up there with the best. So
it was I think the part that excited me about the race. And when you listen to the highlights and the drivers complaining about, we start out loose and we end up tight as hell by the end of a run, like they were struggling with their cars the entire race. And like, I think you've made comments before, Adam, when the drivers are unhappy, it makes for good racing. And that definitely leveled the playing field. That in combination with the horsepower and aero package that they ran, there were no breakaways. You know, you could get a few car lengths and that's it. And
couldn't get behind them, come get them, you know. So
yeah, it was awesome.
It did. I mean, you know, Dylan, for example, his car, what made him fast in my mind from the broadcast, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this there, but he was really fast on the low line. Really fast. He was about the only one that could really make the low line work good. Everybody else, for the most part, seemed to be like on the cusp of the traction compound. You know, and which was okay, and you could get, oh my god, the run you could obtain out of two coming down the backstretch was enormous. And you saw it in the Xfinity race on Saturday first, where Josh Berry like freight trained everybody. I mean, those guys left the outside lane open coming off of two, and he just literally just drove around three cars because he just had such a run. You know, it didn't quite get to that extent on Sunday, but it was there. I mean, guys were getting, there was tremendous speed. Michigan is extremely fast track. Like, I always forget that about this place. It's extremely fast.
Before they took the power out of it, it was the fastest track on the circuit because they weren't restricted, right, with the plates. So
I remember, I want to say it was when we first moved out there, and it might have been prior to that first race that we went to. I remember you talking about that, Matt. You were talking about in practice they were going like a little over 210.
Yeah.
It might have been qualifying, and they ended up changing the tire.
They had it was the repave.
Different tire. Yeah, that was when the repave happened, yes.
Yep, and they're like, holy crap, they are flying. And then, you know, Goodyear said, hey, we're gonna probably, I think they were pushing like a high 210, like, and I'm like,
that's too fast.
That's for a place where you almost, there's multiple lanes of racing and there's multiple, the progressive ranking, right? So you gotta just, you can't have that there. Can't do it.
So that happened in the cup race where it became apparent to me it was whatever it was, 20 laps to go. And it was on that restart coming out of two. Maybe it was the next lap. Maybe it was the second lap. But Reddick had made a ballsy move, made it four wide going into three, and sat in front of Joey. Joey got all kinds of loose from being like, what the freak? There's a car right in front of me all of a sudden, and ended up crashing, obviously.
He spun it, right? I don't think he stuffed it, right?
Nah, he got it collected in that moment, but Reddick made it four wide before he made that move. And like everybody was just like, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. We can't do this.
I had the binoculars up watching it, and I'm yelling because I don't know. I'm trying to talk to whoever Brent's sitting next to me. No one. And I'm going, and I'm watching it. Here goes Joey up and out of the corner. I'm like, yep, he watched him right out. But
yeah,
those RCR boys came to play, man. They came to party. So,
I mean,
Matty D too.
Yeah, Reddick, though, I was surprised, to be honest with you. Jenna Sands just liked one of our Instagram posts.
Oh, look at this. Live action, folks.
She's got a notification.
Got some live action.
She must be upstairs watching TV.
Oh, your internet's terrible. Yeah.
But anyway, Reddick, though, like, I'll be honest, like, at that point in the race where he made that move, I mean, the only person Reddick is racing right now is his own teammate.
Yep.
His own teammate has already been to the care center. The car is parked. Like, I don't understand why. I mean, he took my guy out, so I'm pissed.
Yeah,
I'm jaded here.
Yeah, feeling a little bit of that.
Somewhat jaded. But did you see him purposely spin?
Well, listen. All right, before we get there. So you made a comment that said he's only racing his team. He is. But if he won a race, if he won that race, there's no more next week. Next week is no one's going to be racing next week, you know? But, okay, so do your comment about the spin. I didn't see it happen. I the crowd reacted to him going around, right? And I went, where? And we're pointing, and I'm like, they're going to keep this thing going, man. They ain't going to drop the yellow. They kept it green. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then it rained like four raindrops, and they're like, nope, stop the race.
Yeah.
Stop the race.
So I applaud.
Raindrops. The pavement's a million degrees. It's not wet, but they threw the
yellow. Well, I mean, you know, you don't need Kyle knocking the pace car out again. I mean, that's, you know, listen, we don't need that. We just don't need that.
We commented on that. Brent and I commented. We're like, we don't need a New Hampshire repeat, you know.
Right.
I'm kind of wish he had actually dumped that pace car. That would have been really, really good.
I was rooting for it. I really was. This guy, you know, I'm an anti Kyle Busch. I'm an anti Kyle fan. Let's put it that way.
Good for NASCAR not putting it under yellow for the spin, though. I mean, that's let's actually see him do it to somebody who matters. I mean, not that Reddick doesn't matter, but like, you know what I mean, like.
Let's see Kyle Busch.
I'm talking about Kyle. Yeah. Let's see Kyle spin it and then just not throw the yellow, because that'll make you, I don't know if they know this or not, but that'll make damn good TV.
Oh, it sure will. Where's my caution?
Yeah.
He'll be pissed.
I feel like,
you know,
like they, with all the road courses they've done this year, they learned a little bit. They're like, you know, you gotta look. Got to see how much time you got. Okay, you know, they're getting fired up. They're back on the road, or they're you know, they're in Reddick's case. I don't even think he went all the way around, but he got it down on the apron and out of the way. So
there was a couple guys close to him at speed after he had already spun. But you're not gonna get it right every time. That's for sure. Like, you know. The one thing about NASCAR, obviously the cars are pretty close, but the tracks are also different in their own right. I mean, that's
very true.
It's like you remember back in like elementary school, middle school, and high school days playing a stick and ball sport, right? And like you go to another field and like they're just not the same. Like they're supposed to be similar dimensions, but like they just, you know,
that run to first base sometimes is way longer than it was supposed
different.
To be.
Right, it was different.
You're hoofing right. it, man. You know, you get there in a mound, you're like, bud, I can't even reach the plate. I don't know what the heck's going on. Who measured this? Must have been blind, but
right. But yeah, I know I like Reddick, but you know, Reddick, he went down a page in my book this week. You know, can't be doing that shit.
Oh, even if it's on the line, man, you know, you got to play it right and don't follow Kyle Busch and everything he does. So
Mr. Blaney.
Oh my God. I was so happy. I'm wearing a Truex shirt going, go Blaney, go Blaney. No, baby. The whole time.
I honestly don't understand, like, because at the end there you had, so it was Larson, Hamlin, and Byron. Or no, it was Larson and Byron 1-2, technically, yep. on that last restart, right? And they both chose the same lane.
The front three took the high lane.
Denny took it too. And I know why they did it. Like that makes sense.
Run you get off two on that traction compound made those restarts interesting because, like we found out, guys they want to run that high line. So yeah, 1-3 took high line Kyle Busch, I think he even made a comment. Kyle Busch shoved Ryan Blaney into the lead, and I don't think anybody expected that he would actually stay there.
No, but like they left they opened the door for him, like it for that move. Like it, there's nothing Hendrick Carr could have done, right, in that situation.
Yeah, if they worked together a little better, they might have had a chance. But he was gone, like gone. And I'm going, go baby, go baby, because all the new Kyle Larson fans are there with their brand new shirts. You know, all the new fans. And I'm just like, go, baby, go. I got a Furniture Row Racing shirt on from 2015. Just letting them know I'm OG, you know? Just like, they're all like,
Larson was going to catch him about 8 laps to go. I'm like, he's getting close. And I think maybe Blaney turned the wick up just a little bit more. But
some FMCs, buddy. We come to play at Michigan. I'll tell you that much. Ford comes to play.
Sure do, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, I mean, that's Blaney's – that's his first Michigan win. But you know, the Ford reigns supreme again, which I forget what's the line here? 7th consecutive and 42 overall victories for Ford at Michigan.
That's it, baby.
Yeah.
Bring it home. I think I heard Chevrolet had a plan to work together too.
That didn't work.
Yep, had some marching orders. Don't that one didn't play out like it was supposed to. But oh yeah, let's go. It was awesome.
But yeah, I thought you know, Blaney talked about it a little bit or said a couple lines in his post race interview in Victory Lane. I don't know if you guys heard it while you were there. But he was talking about how you know, one of the circumstances of that situation for him making it work was playing aerodynamics a little bit. You know, this is definitely a track where that can come into fruition and might have been hard to see from the stands, but on TV when they slowed everything down and they're focusing on a particular battle, you can clearly see guys manipulating the person in front of them by taking air off the back of their car, you know, by getting behind them real good. And you could, as the leader in that situation, if you know that that's what your competitor is going to do, like Blaney did there at the end, you know, I forget who was on his butt there across the line. Was it Byron?
Byron.
That's right. Yeah. Byron
clearly, to me, from the video, is trying to take the air off the back of Blaney's car to get him a little upset, get him loose, and potentially make a pass. And Blaney knew he was going to do that, so he's literally just avoiding him, not necessarily blocking him, but avoiding him trying to take the air off. of his spoiler and, you know, get him upset. So it was somewhat of an arrow game there in that last, like, once he had taken the lead, like, that was the strategy to finish
it off. So
I think that's what some people don't like about that situation. But, you know, if you stuck around for all of the laps prior to that, you would see that, just like you guys experienced, it's a fantastic race.
It was unbelievably cool. We had a good, I like that where we were sitting too, Brent. I really like that. Pit out was real cool.
Yep.
Especially cool. Watching him coming to the trial. So, and then Blaney gave the flag away, right, to a young fan. And I'm sitting in line waiting to return the headset. And here comes the family. I'm like, hey, I'm like, I got a podcast. Hope you all check it out. Can I get a picture for the pod? They're like, yeah, no problem. So I snapped a couple pics.
Oh, shit.
It was awesome.
I thought you were right there on the when he gave it to her.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, the last like 2 days after you sent that, I've been like rewatching those clips to see if I'm looking for your lanky head just sticking out of the crowd.
No, unfortunately, it was in the headset return line. So,
okay.
Not that cool. But
all right.
Yeah. So it was awesome. Sweet, he's like, I'm gonna take a listen. I'm like, hey everybody, I got a podcast. Everybody check it out. So,
everybody, listen to me.
Gather around. I have stories to tell about racing, banter.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was, it really was. It was hot as all hell, but you know.
Well, yeah. At least Zoe got to experience it, right? And you know, at least you guys got to see a good race, and it's nice when there's a place like in your, you know, I know it's a little for not in your backyard, but it's fairly easy to make a day of it, right, without too much crazy driving.
Yeah.
Now we got there right as pretty much right as it was starting, and we got right out too, Brent. We made some great time, so.
Yeah, it was fun. It's funny you talk about being able to take my daughter to her first race, and you know, maybe she's a little young for it, and having to sit in the stands is tough enough for, you know, for a 5-year-old. And we get home, and you know, she had slept in the car on the way back, and we get home, and she gets out of the car, and she goes running back to the side door to meet my wife, and Megan asks her, how was it? She goes, good. I'm like, she's lying to you. She hated it.
That was not good. Nothing I saw there was good.
But you were commenting, I think, on the text message afterwards about how she wanted to go back because she had saw, like, the fanfare is what it sounded like, right?
Yeah, I had Matt and I had noticed that they had, you know, because at NASCAR races, they do a lot of events for kids and stuff and before the race. And we didn't get there in time to do those things. So she wanted to do those things. So she told us we got to camp at the track next year.
Got to camp.
So she can do all the pre-race festivities. So
see, I like that. She's exactly what I'm trying to preach to the people of the world, that a NASCAR race isn't just about the arrive and watch and leave. If you want the experience and if you want to enjoy it, there's no doubt in my mind that you need to immerse yourself in that environment for a couple days. Like, you can't understand until you do that. All the shit.
Literally. And we did it quick, and I was late because I was doing stuff. So if we were there a little earlier, we'd be a little better off. But
no, you guys know, you guys can arrive and watch and be happy about it because you can appreciate the racing. But the average fan, to me, can't do that because A, they can't geek out about it like us because they don't, you know, they just don't enjoy it to that degree. They need the dog and pony show, for lack of better words, right?
Yep. You need to see tractors on display and the walk-through cigarette booth, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be dragging her to Mid-Ohio at some point again in the future. And the advantage of that place is she can just run around in the
field.
So
that's what I was going to say. Like, we should definitely, we should definitely plan a more, like a race where that can happen. The camping and like you have your own space to be comfortable in, and you can decide what you want to do when you want to do it. You're not locked to a bleacher seat in 95 degrees waiting for your dad to bring you a damn lemonade.
For the entire second stage.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, if we do, you know, if we see, you know, Road America and on the schedule next year, I would like to check that out. So that's in the back of my mind. But
Yeah.
That's Wisconsin, right?
Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin.
You don't have to twist my arm.
Oh, how's she going, eh?
Yeah, that's a buck. My dad has talked about wanting to go out there for years, and just hasn't happened. So he'll definitely be on board for that. So that's a bucket list track. Sure. I hope they take Cup cars back there next year, so we can get a little piece of that action. So
I think the road course, like the legitimate road courses, I don't think we're going to see an increase. I think we're going to see a similar amount of road courses.
I think it's a good level. I mean, the if it wasn't for the disasters that happened, the Indy road course would have been better than I expected. But I can see what some people say about, well, you should have just ran the oval instead. So, yeah, they could probably take that one off the list. But, you know, I like Road America. I like the Glen. I like Dakota. Yeah. And then the Daytona road course. And if they could take the chicane out of the front stretch at Daytona with the new car, which they probably.
Yes.
Because they'll actually that are, you know, big enough. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Coda, I think everybody thinks has to be good. I don't think that race did not deliver from a racing perspective this year due to the weather. The Glen was awesome. I don't think you could make that. Couldn't have been any better of a situation. Road America was good too. You can't take a race away from Charlotte being in the mecca of auto racing at this point, right? And anything that happens at Daytona is gold.
Yeah.
So like you can't take that stuff away. I don't think they're taking a race away from Roger Penske. That would shock me.
He'll work it out though. If it's a comedy, put him on the track at the same time in the real world. That'd be something to see.
You mean NASCAR more than one and Indy? Once?
Yeah, NASCAR and Indy out there together.
It's just not big enough.
There's not enough pit stalls, but
or well, just cross you can those. Do.
We get there. Everybody switches cars. You want to see something crazy?
So let's talk about that for a sec. Did you guys watch? And you brought that up a good point. Like, not enough pit stalls. Did you watch? You guys watch the truck race on Friday night?
No, I didn't see the truck race. I was out going around, but that was at they were somewhere special, right?
They were at Gateway, which is across the river. It's not St. Louis, but for TV they call it St. Louis. And it's a fairly like Darlington like shape with a short corner versus a longer corner on each end of the track. The reason why I'm saying did you see it was because that there was no live green pit stops by design.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that wasn't it was all well and good until the lights went out at the track mid race. Well, I don't know if it was mid race, but it was dark.
Listen,
I don't know. The lights went out. Fine.
Power's out. Not a good thing.
Yeah. So that was a situation there, but that was why I brought that particular race up, because it was a situation where they went into it knowing we're not doing live green pit stops. The only pit stops are stage breaks.
That's interesting. So maybe even make a policy says if you need to repair your car, you're done. no matter what, even if it's a little thing, right? Just literally the pits are for tires and fuel, and we'll do them all dead pit stops, right? Or untimed pit stops, whatever they're calling it, and run Indy and NASCAR together. Let's go. Roger's thinking about it. You know those boys are talking about what they can do. So,
well, I think if you're a track owner at this point, certain places more than others definitely need to figure out a way to spice it up. You know, in some situations, there's the boring, when everybody talks to me, when people unanimously agree about the boringness of NASCAR, that typically seems to be derived from like one lane racing.
True.
Right. And they're trying different things. They obviously tried it this weekend. Instead of the PJ1, they used a resin.
Home run, dude.
Yeah, and that was it worked. It did exactly what they had all hoped for. So I would expect to see it again, you know. And I think that works in some situations, and not in others. So, you know, We'll see.
Well, you don't want to just start putting it on Bristol and stuff, you know, like.
No, I don't. Cause then that, you know, that, I mean, Bristol is going to create its own chaos, whether you do something to the track or not, but, which is just another piece of evidence for more short track racing.
True. Oh, short tracks. Bring them all, man.
Yeah, the short, you know, short, I think it's the short tracks and the more technical road courses that have, I guess, slower corner speeds that allow a little more bumping and grinding, because you can get away with it without, you know, writing off race cars. Those tracks don't have to worry about the one lane racing thing if, you know, running around Michigan at, you know, 190 miles an hour and you can't get around somebody, you can't just bump them a little bit. You're going to wreck the whole thing. It's not as easy. Yeah. A little different.
I would like to see in short track situations, I'd like to see heat racing with, you know, traditional, you know, even, you know, asphalt or dirt style heat racing with B main, A mains, last chance qualifiers, stuff like that. To
race ins and stuff. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, race in type situations, because I think that's in it's that's there's strategy in that for a team. It requires the driver to change their mindset a little bit sometimes about being aggressive or if not being aggressive and drive the car in short spurts. And it gives the fan in the stands the opportunity to take a breather, because it's sure. Like for me, fans in the stands sometimes when it's not exciting, when it's missing some of the elements of excitement race. I mean, you guys know I fall asleep.
Hey, listen, sometimes you take a nap. It's fine.
Sometimes you take a nap. You know, so like, I feel like that would help me as a fan, but also would also create competitiveness in other ways in my mind. And I don't know, maybe drivers wouldn't like that. But I mean, that's one of the things I like about the short track stuff is the different format.
Yeah, true.
We got brief, if you will, stage breaks, or, you know, they're close to, I guess as close as they can get to heat racing without, you know, actually getting in the pool. But
oh, attaboy.
Could definitely break it up, like you said, a little more if they wanted to.
I like the long runs.
Yeah.
I do like the long runs on certain tracks. There's, trust me, like that was the perfect situation in Michigan where you could go the long run. Nobody was really breaking away. Some cars were able to run certain lines, and that was dependent on the changing of the car over that run, like you're talking about, real loose, but then real tight. You know, and even the Hendrick cars there at the end. I mean, Byron made a hell of a move in between one and two, or in three and four, I couldn't remember where, where he had to turn up the track to avoid a situation. And I couldn't believe it. He didn't blow it into the wall. Like, it just, the car, he turned the wheel and it went, and then he turned the wheel back the other way and it went the other way. And I'm like,
yeah. You think they're on the edge, right? And then you see something like that, you're like, oh, they got a little more control than I thought they did, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And then you got Truex on the radio saying he's wrecking loose. So, you know, fine.
So let's back up a second there. Truex, in the early part of the race there, he got a little love tap from his buddy.
Yeah, I didn't. What I saw was him and Kyle both on pit road starting to get tape out. I'm like, look, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. What's happening? They were talking about on the radio, but
yeah.
Oh God.
Kyle got one of those good runs. I think it was coming out of two.
Was it a real good run? Yeah.
Well, he had the high line, right, and had all that speed, and he tried to duck under him, and he didn't do it fast enough. It was the perfect situation, right? He had, you know, Truex ends up with the left rear damage, and he ends up with the right front. Like, it's. Yeah. You know, it couldn't have been anybody else.
Truex came down pit road twice for that. They were hammering and trying to get that, quarter panel to stick back to the car. It was kind of sticking out.
We almost went home. We almost left. Brent didn't know that, but we almost got in the car.
Yeah. Well, at least they actually tried something instead of Austin Cindric from Saturday, where they're just like, oh, fuck, we're just going to take the front end off the car and go do some laps, bud.
Fine. We'll figure it out, right?
I was yelling at my TV, like, get off. What are you doing? Just out there oiling it up for everybody. It was.
He was smoking, too. I can't believe. I understand why the team did it. They don't give a shit about anybody else. They don't have. There's no other Penske cars in the race, right? In the Xfinity series. So, like, you know. We're the points leader. We're done for the day. We're just going to put some laps out to see if we can salvage a couple points. You know, like,
totally.
Go ahead and black flag us when you're ready to black flag us, NASCAR. You do it. We're just waiting for you.
Oh, it's just, what are you doing? You know? What are you doing, bud?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Can't win them all.
Yeah. Good stuff from Michigan.
Truex got some speed at the end, though. They had a little bit going. They had it rolling there for a while. So,
yeah. Where did he finish?
Top five, I think, or top six, or top ten for sure.
He finished 10th. Yep.
There you go. Bubba was up there too. Not Bubba. Matty D.
Matty D took home the sixth. So yeah.
Let's go.
You know, interesting situation. You know, Matty D. Not done yet.
He's done. I don't know. Ugh, I hate it. I don't want him to be, but I don't see a home for him. Where's he going?
Well, let's get into the standings a little bit right now.
All
right. Okay. So as it sits in order, starting from the top, Kyle Larson, Truex, Alex Bowman, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, William Byron, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Christopher Bell, Michael McDowell, Eric Almirola, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, and Tyler Reddick. Those are your top 16 drivers from a playoff standing perspective, assuming, you know, all those guys are locked in at this point. Austin Dillon is the first man out. And he's 25 points behind his teammate Tyler Reddick. So the guys on the cusp who you know, need to turn garbage into gold here.
Garbage into gold.
Is Matty D.
Yeah.
Chris Buescher, the third Buescher brother.
The third Buescher brother.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Ready. Where's Danica?
Melon Man.
Oh.
Bubba Wallace. Chase Briscoe, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Newman, Ryan Preece, Cole Custer, and Corey LaJoy. Those are the guys that, like, obviously, I mean, some of them are better than others. I think the only guy that can point in right now is probably Dylan. Everybody else needs a Daytona Miracle.
And guess who? So I'm going out on a limb. No RCR cars make the playoffs.
Cool.
Okay.
You think Mountain Man's going to take home the victory at Daytona?
Let's do this. You're going to start, Matt.
Okay.
Who? You cannot pick a driver currently slated for the playoffs. Any of those top 16 drivers, okay?
Okay. Yep.
So the people, and listen to this closely, Brent. The people you can choose from are Austin Dillon, Matt DiBenedetto, Chris Buescher, Ricky Stenhouse, Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, Chase Briscoe, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Newman, Cole Custer, and Corey LaJoy. Those are the choices to win the Daytona race. Who you got?
I'm going first, right?
Yep, you're first, Matt.
Daniel Suarez. We'll win the all race, I guess you could call it a Daytona, the night race Daytona.
Yeah.
With Trackhouse Racing, first playoff berth, buddy. It's happening.
That'd be cool.
Pitbull's gonna be up there just fist bumping away, you know.
Be a hell of a show. Be a hell of a show.
It's gonna happen.
Really awesome. I am going to go with Mr. Buescher. 17 car.
Bushy bitch in the Roush Fenway car.
He's going to so would Keselowski jump up there on victory lane with him then after the race?
Maybe.
We're going to have to wake Jack Roush up.
Not dead yet.
So I say that. I think Suarez does win it, but I put a lot of – I was thinking about this. And BBC, Road Bumper Clear mentioned it today too, about which – so Ford's got all their heavy hitters in the playoffs that they want to be in there, right? All the Penske team brothers are in there, right? Who's the fourth Penske car?
Yeah, Matty D.
Matty D. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the orders are get him in the playoffs, get – Wood Brothers their 100th win, and help Matt get a ride for next year.
Well, I was just going to say that. Like, I wasn't thinking about the Penske connection. I was thinking about the Wood Brothers 100th win. This would be monumental from a historic perspective. You know, to do that at Daytona. On a clinching night, it would bring to me, like as a fan, it would bring all the older generation of NASCAR fans who don't want things to change, right? Who want things to be the way they were supposed to be back in the day. It would bring those people into this moment to embrace a 100th win. But yet it would be awesome for Matty D to probably save his job, not save his job at Wood Brothers, but it would more than likely save his job as a cup driver for some other team.
Yes.
And put them, give them four cars, like just now that you say that, essentially de facto four Penske cars in the playoffs, which is huge. I mean, that's huge.
Makes Edsel Ford real happy, tell you that much. So
yeah.
Okay. But I wouldn't be surprised, and also the over under on Matty D crying if he wins, he's 100% gonna cry. So.
Oh yeah, guy's just real raw like that.
he's gonna be shrieking. So.
Shrieking. Having said all that, I'm putting my money on Ross Chastain, baby.
Oh, I hope the Melon Man does it too.
because I want to see a watermelon smash in Victory Lane over Woodbrothers 100.
We're in it for the cheap entertainment. We're going to go for nostalgia tonight, boys.
Yeah, it's going to be free watermelons for the state of Florida. On
he might say something
Saturday
like that.
Night.
You don't know. He may say it. You know.
Right. Yeah. He's got a whole farm to back up his claim. So we'll see.
Yeah, it would be. I'm saying right now, RCR doesn't get in. They don't get in. That's my.
That would be wild.
That's all it would take, man. We know how wild that place is.
So
Michael
what do you
in the playoffs?
Oh yeah. So this is the crazy part. Okay, so Daytona, super speedway racing. So many people who are in respectable equipment need a win. And pretty much everybody who's anybody in top tier equipment is locked in at this point. So what do you do? Because, there's a couple of those situations. You have, you talked about, there's the Penske situation with the de facto fourth car in Matty D wanting to get him in. You've got Denny Hamlin, who is locked in on points at this point, and he's the owner of the Gibbs fourth car.
Yeah, he is.
In Bubba Wallace.
Another factor in this. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Who could easily be one of those drivers. You have, let's see. I mean, those are the only two stories like that I think probably matter. Unless you have the Hendrick boys wanting to help out Ross Chastain, because the one Ganassi car is in Kurt Busch, but the Ganassi 2 car, which they both have Hendrick Alliance to, is not.
True. It's,
you know.
I hear you, and there's a lot of, I'm sure this is one of those, this in Talladega, where those team orders come down, right? This is what we want to see. And if you're in the playoffs, I don't see those guys racing for much of anything, to be honest. And
yeah.
Just trying to keep them from getting themselves hurt, right? Because this is one of those tracks. And keep in mind, too, this is that new Joey Logano package, right? So we'll see what changes. Yeah. Every time they make a change here, we really don't know. It a little change goes a long way at a place like this. So
yeah. There's going to be chaos. I mean, you essentially have just about 10 guys who are going for it, who basically need a win to save their season, potentially save some of them, save their career in Cup. And, I don't know. A guy like Kevin Harvick can't rest on his laurels at this point right now.
He's locked, right? Yeah, he's locked, though.
I think he's going to be, I think he's locked by points. I don't think he can, with a repeat winner winning in Michigan, I think he is locked. I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to drop anything, but yeah, it's just.
But I don't see these guys hanging in the middle of the pack or close to the back of the pack is dangerous here. That's it's a strategy that can pay off, but it is dangerous.
You're hanging out with the Rick Wares of the world back there. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. Quinn Huff's back there, driving around. He had a great looking car, by the way. Side note. For Mr.
Hoop. He did.
It was a 00, but he had a real cool looking paint scheme. It kind of looked like they stole it from the 48 car, but they changed the colors. It looked really cool.
Yeah, that was a good look.
I didn't catch it. Oh, man.
I derailed you. Well, we get to see it because we're not watching on television, but,
I don't remember them showing Quinn Huff. I mean, he didn't crash, so I don't remember them showing Quinn Huff on TV.
Didn't make the cut this week.
No, didn't get the airtime.
But you ride in the back, like you were saying. You still got to deal with all that crap and then pits and...
You have idiots like Derek Hope, Ryan Eversley. God, some of the names I recognize.
Cody Ware. Yeah.
Cody Ware, Quinn Huff, Josh Balicki. I mean, Alfredo, you know.
He's got a cool name. He's good at iRacing. I don't know about the car. So.
Yeah, he's got a lot to learn. So, yeah. I don't think Cindric is running. I think he's done. No, I think they said Indy was his last cup race.
Okay. That makes sense, though.
Yeah, it's time to hang it up. It's time to focus on the playoffs for Xfinity car and bring home championship number two. Before they
He
pretty much only ran cup on road courses anyway.
He did. He ran the 500, though, to start the season, and he ran Atlanta. Atlanta won in the spring. Ran somewhere else. He ran COTA, Road America, Glen, Indy. But yeah. So we'll see, man. For people out there, this is not the Daytona 500, but there is the potential for the same chaos to break out because of the circumstances and because we are, you know, essentially at the world's greatest stock car racing venue.
Right. There's a reason it's the last race of the season, right?
This is staged. NASCAR knows exactly what they're doing here.
Correct. Last year they did it at Bristol, didn't they? Last race of the season?
Yeah. I think it's traditionally been Bristol.
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
The night race, I think, it was pushed.
That's right.
They didn't run it last year. Well, they ran. No, I think they ran, but I think everything was pushed. But anyway, so now the Bristol night race is the round of 16 cutoff.
So we'll see. Right. They know what ones they need to do. NASCAR is definitely, like Adam says, always. Sometimes they do realize they are in the entertainment business. Realize what puts on a good show. Putting guys fighting for huge bonuses on a track at 200 miles an hour. And seeing who comes in first. So,
yeah, with whatever it is, 3,500-pound missiles.
Missiles. Are they getting lighter next year? Did we figure that out?
I feel like it could be a thing, but I don't know.
I felt like I was on a spaceship.
So, yeah. So Matt, you had – who did you have again?
I'm taking Mr. Suarez, Trackhouse Racing. Suarez. Yep.
Brent, you had who?
Busher.
Busher, and I've got Melon Man.
Oh. Okay. See, I find myself rooting for him. But
42, I don't know. Baby.
Suarez is, he's always, at some point during those super speedway races, involved, but always he gets wrecked. So hopefully he figures it out this year, this week. So.
I feel like you got to watch out for, Suarez. Honestly, I mean, Matty D has been good super speedway racing.
He has.
Really good.
If he gets help, if he gets that Ford help, he's going to be unstoppable. But I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully he just does the right thing, I guess, has yet to be seen with him.
yes.
You know, and Bubba Wallace, he finished second in the 500.
Do you think he gets the Toyota call, though? Do you think they call him up?
Yeah, I mean, he's boss's made man, so, you know. Yeah, it's he's true. Got true. Denny Hamlin, who's, you know, he's... Daytona is by far Hamlin's best track.
Oh, I remember. I remember a few races.
He's won, what, 3 500s in a matter of 4 years?
One like milliseconds in front of Truex, which I thought he won. And I was jumping up and down like an idiot. Come to find out. I don't think house, Adam.
Yeah. You know, with you, it always seems to come down to these final things. Like, you know, Joey, take your championship. Hamlin took your 500.
Listen, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong, buddy. I'm right about both those things.
You don't think there's anything that Truex could have done in any of those situations to change the outcome in his favor at any point in time?
Yeah, stop being such a nice guy. But
okay, well,
he could have dumped him.
If he had a Ross Chastain attitude sometimes, it might help him out a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah. Maybe Trixie just get up there and smash a melon. Maybe it's just that, like, that power you get from melon smashing. I don't know.
Maybe he takes, like, a pork roll, egg, and cheese up there, you know, and just destroys it. I'd be like, oh, Jersey boys up there with his pork roll. No one will know. The rest of the country wouldn't know.
You'd all be sitting there. Is he eating an egg McMuffin?
What has he got over there? Is that an egg, bacon, and cheese? Like they say up here in Michigan? What? What are you
speaking
talking?
Of, I'm in charge of breakfast. I'm in charge of breakfast for all days at Bristol.
Oh, okay. We got to figure out our marshmallows here.
I'm so excited.
Travis in, too.
I know, dude. We got the whole gang.
He got the hook.
What the hell?
He got hooked up, man. He got the bug. He felt the bug, so.
Yeah, and I was...
All right, I'll go.
So you guys, like, flat out asked him? Like, is that how that went?
We're like, why aren't you going? Like, you said, you literally, like, you know all about this. And he was talking, like, all the stuff he used to know. And I'm like, Travi. He goes, only thing they do today is when the men used to run, they used to run 400 miles without stopping. Now they need to take breaks. But I'm like, whatever, it's fine. You still got to go. So.
Yeah. When he was asking me about the tickets, first he asked me if would it be possible if he could still go, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, you can go, nothing's stopping you from coming. Like, I don't, in my mind, like, I whether you go to the race or not, I said the only thing that could be difficult is, like, if you wanted to sit with us, which I assume you do, right? Finding a ticket, you know, right there. And then he was online, like, instantly, and sent me a screenshot after I gave him the section and seat and row information, and he found one directly behind us.
So awesome.
So I'm like, yeah, like, that's, like, I'm like, the other option is I call the ticket guy and just go through him, but if you can access a seat directly behind us, then I would just buy that, because I anticipate it to be full, but it might not be. I mean, you know, there could be an open seat maybe directly next to us, but even behind us is fine too, because it's kind of easier to communicate.
It's right there, and he, you know, it won't be full for the other races, right? But Cup might be a little busy, but the other one should be fine.
Yeah, I wasn't. The only thing I'm not sure of is if he got a ticket for the ARCA and truck race. On a screenshot, in a screenshot, it didn't have that, but
all right.
If he didn't, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to buy one instantly.
It's also Tennessee, so he may be able to just walk in. So who knows?
Oh,
good bartering chips. Maybe a couple Bud heavies and a half pack of cigarettes. I don't know.
We're gonna bring us some cigs down there for the bartering. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the. So here's what I'm thinking. We've got Cup two more weeks or so until it's race week at Bristol. I'm thinking the week of Bristol, that because the Wednesday before we leave. I'm thinking no podcast, as I just feel like that's probably not a good idea. So the week before that, I'm thinking we go through like a Bristol prep on here, you know.
I like it.
So I don't know. Let's just go down the list. What do we got? What are we bringing? What are we doing? You know, what's the deal?
I'm bringing a tent. Bring another tent.
Bring a tent.
No.
What if I told you our campsite was either macadam or stones?
That would suck. Is that the truth? Oh, okay.
I think it's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
If that is the case, I'll just pack. See, this is good information. Stuff we'll talk about in that episode. But, yeah. You know, moving blankets, you know, just and plus a couple beers in, man. I don't know how much it's going to matter.
Prince truck has a back seat.
You think I'll fit in there?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Thinking about it, like, Brent's camper's got two, right? They got the two pop-outs and the, yeah. On the sofa situation. And I'm going to say this right now, whoever's the shortest person, I slept on that sofa last time.
Travis.
I don't fit.
Travis.
So, I mean, I'm snuggling. Brent gets a bed, right? Because it's his camper. No one can take his bed away from him. That's just the rules, right?
The rules.
So I'm gonna
I got a nice, like a 3-inch memory foam topper for the front bed. It's real, real nice.
Yeah. What about your Dale poster? You still got your Dale poster?
I think I do. I just got to find it. The one from Dega? I got to find it.
We've got a lot to discuss in a couple weeks. Of shit.
Yeah. We're bringing a lot of crap. I'm starting to make a small list. Got to clean the charcoal grill up. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
What do we say?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening. I know we've been growing like crazy, so thank you all. And we're working on some things in the background, get you some merch and what have you. So if you're going to downbeat our Bristle, come see us. We'll have our banners flying. So as we say, keep the shiny side up, the rubber side down. Let's go racing at Daytona. Let's go Suarez. Let's go Coca-Cola Racing.
This guy's, he's all on that train. He's all on
it. I'm on board right now.
Adios, amigos.
Big track house guy. Yeah.